Hello, everybody. Thanks for joining me. So in this episode, I'm going to talk about what is spirituality and what can I do to start being more spiritual. I'm going to break down even further what it means to be an irreverentist. Again, I don't like to say you have to do anything, but to define something, you have to have haves. So, you know, it's kind of inescapable. But the beautiful paradox of irreverentism is that you don't have to do any part of it. It is and it isn't. Once you dive into spirituality, this absurd concept will actually make more sense and no sense at all. Okay, look, I know it's a hot button issue and all kinds of stuff, but before you immediately shut down, know that when I say spirituality, you have to drop any preconceived notions of what spirituality is. Don't confuse religion with spirituality. Religion is a set of rules you must follow or you're wrong. Spirituality means something very different to each and every one of us. Spirituality to you is what you say it is. And irreverentism embraces spirituality. There are no predefined rules to follow, only possibilities to explore. That's how it's supposed to be. Mainstream religions don't work because they try to fit everyone into an outdated hole that no longer serves our modern lives. I said outdated hole. The fact is, there's no right or wrong way to follow your own spirituality. When people think of gods and deities, they think of holier-than-thou beings with no sense of humor, right? Well, the truth is, the spirit realm is just as varied as we are. That means the things that bring you joy bring joy to the spirit realm, too. We're all a part of what is, and once you realize that, you realize how wonderful and beautiful everything is. Take me, for example. I'm crass, I cuss all the fucking time, I make sleazy monsters with substance abuse problems, and for some reason the universe decided to show itself to me, of all people. I'm still trying to figure that out, but I mean, that's half the fun. The mystery is what's exciting. I have a wonderful relationship with many deities, and they accept me for sleazy old me. Rather than judge me, they want to help me become the best me I can be, and that same goes for all of you, because we are them and they are us. We are separate but whole, and together we all win. Science has proven as a fact that we are all energy, and spirituality at its core, no matter what face or name you give it, is the ability to learn, manipulate, and transmute energy. In other words, living your fucking life. I'm not here to tell you how to live your life, and I'm absolutely not claiming to have all the answers. I've only scratched the surface of an entire cosmos. All I'm trying to do is share some universal truths that I'm so grateful I'm being shown. I want to share these universal concepts so that you can take what you will from them and apply it to your own personal life in whatever ways make sense to you. I care about your success. I care about your happiness. I care about your existence. Because we truly are all one, and together we all win. This is something we need to start, like, it's a mantra, okay? Together we all win. There's no user manual for being a human being. We're popped into this world screaming, and we grow up in a world that's screaming at us, telling us who we have to be and who we are. Spirituality is letting go of what the world tells you you have to be, and embrace who you want to be. Becoming the best version of yourself, living your best life, and in turn, helping others do the same. Now that is spirituality. That is irreverentism. I'm Sig Neutron, and this is Sig Neutron Sputron.
Hello, 8-bit breakdown.
Love,
Leave a lot baloney, motherfuckers.
You might be shocked to know that spirituality and practicality go hand in hand. The more I delve into spirituality, the more I learn a huge part of it is taking care of ourselves so we're better equipped to help others do the same. If you're succeeding and making progress in life, then you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing, even if you aren't taking an interest in spirituality. No one says you have to be spiritual, as like most mainstream religions say. You're just a natural at playing the game of life. You aren't going to some hell because you aren't following a specific religion or a god, and you won't be denied access to paradise because you didn't say the right words or have someone dunk you in a river. Don't get it twisted. I'm not saying that all mainstream religious practices are bad. No, I think a lot of them are paths to the same overall spiritual fulfillment. And there's nothing wrong with the practices themselves. It's the way people load those ideas into their guns and pour those concepts into machines of hate and separation. That's the problem. I believe even if you're happy and successful, you can still take away some deeply fulfilling things by embracing spirituality. Let me clarify that I'm not talking about being a saint when I talk about spirituality. No, I'm talking about balance. A lot of New Age religions only focus on the light and love side, but true balance comes from integrating and not suppressing the shadow. We are beings of light and dark, duality. Much like the yin and the yang principle, light and dark are essential halves of a whole. Sour makes sweet that much sweeter. And if we were unable to experience the sensation of sour, then sweet would just be the default flavor, and how would we even know what sweet was if that's the only flavor that existed? Sweet would just be what is. It wouldn't be sweet, it would just be the only flavor. The way I see spirituality in this moment is that big and small, we are our impact on the world. And there's three things that we personally need to balance in order to live up to our greatest potential. Our mind, our body, and our spirit. In today's culture, we're really familiar with mind and body, and we believe that they're the only two components that make us us. We're told that we're just randomly developed meat bags experiencing chemical reactions to stimuli. But, I mean, really think about that for a moment. That sounds insanely ludicrous. And anyone who has ever experienced love, sadness, hate, and anger knows deep down that meatbag mentality is bullshit. There's, you know, in your core that there is so much more to this life than just being a chemical meatbag. And this is why the world's so fractured and it feels so fucked up, but none of us know why or how to fix it. We know deep down there's something more, but the human machine is seemingly so broken we have no idea what to believe. Well, if we want to see where the problem lies, then we need look no further than ourselves. The nature of our reality is fractal, which means that each individual part contains all the parts necessary to recreate the whole. If you want to get a better understanding, just look up a visual of fractals. It's easier to understand by visually looking at it. We can understand what's wrong with our society by understanding what's wrong with our individual selves. The broad concepts are the same, just the individual details change. I truly believe if we can get everyone to shift their attention inwards and be very honest with ourselves to assess what's wrong with us individually, then we'll start to see that we're all contributing to the toxicity of our reality. The toxicity of our reality. So we gotta wake up and put on the little makeup. But some people don't even realize it. Like, I know I didn't even realize a lot of the things I was doing were contributing not only to my own unhappiness, but our collective unhappiness as well. Our lives, the storylines we live, are like the cells that make up our reality. Our reality is like the greater organism. And from what we know about our bodies is when our cells don't function, the whole organism suffers. Rhythm permeates everything, and if one section is off key, it ruins the whole song. So while it's important that we look outwardly and fight for what's right in the external world, we truly need to look inside, because once we fix ourselves, we unlock infinite potential to help others. I look at humanity in its entirety as a giant machine. We are each the individual parts of this machine. Now imagine that this machine has 7.7 billion parts, and every single part is so unique that it only has one specialist who is capable of fixing it. Well, that specialist is the part itself. We blame external factors so much that we've convinced ourselves that we're powerless, when in all actuality, each one of us has had the power to fix ourselves and in turn the greater whole this entire time. It goes back to our own personal mind, body, and spirit. So how do we balance body and spirit and mind, and what the hell am I even talking about when I say that? Well, let's start with familiar territory and the one that we're most familiar with and work our way up. So, our body. If we get really honest with ourselves, we already know what's good for our bodies. We know junk food is bad for us, and we know we should be exercising. It's pretty much common knowledge. Innate common knowledge. And there's a reason for that. So, why do we fail so hard on this? Well, because we believe that diet and healthy habits don't really matter in the overall scheme of our life. That we just don't have time to worry about things like that because we have greater things to worry about. My health can wait because I have more pressing matters. Well, let me tell you, your body is your physical spacesuit. It's the way that you interact with everything in this physical realm. And once you start paying attention to it, you realize it can do way more than we ever even dreamed possible. Leading science discoveries are coming to the conclusion that humans are capable of regenerating ourselves if we could only figure out how. There's things called telomeres that actually, they're like little, they explain them like little the casings over the end of shoelaces to keep them from fraying. Well, it's actually, they've found out that telomeres can actually regenerate the DNA. And what happens when we grow older is that our DNA replicates, and each time it replicates, we lose a little bit more and a little bit more of DNA because it keeps, and that's how aging happens. So we're essentially running out of DNA. But they're finding out that telomeres can actually regrow the DNA and extend the strands. So in turn, the reason why we get old or we get wrinkles or our body shut down is because we're running out of DNA, essentially. Well, science is catching on that there are ways that we can actually regenerate our DNA. This is science. You can look it up. And this is crazy to me because, like, we think that we have, like, my idea about DNA is that we had it all figured out. But once you start digging into it, you realize that we've only scratched the surface. There's so much more to learn about DNA, and that they're learning more and more every day. And there's even like levels above DNA now. It's nuts. But that's not the point of what we're talking about here. So I encourage you to look up the current learnings of DNA, and you'll be surprised to know that we actually really don't know. I think of my body as a vessel for me, whatever I am. And we don't realize that we have other energies looking out for us and trying to help guide us. So the problem is, when we make unhealthy decisions, it fucks with our antenna and it becomes harder and harder to hear the guidance of those looking out for us. And this is intuition. You've all experienced your own intuition via a gut feeling or something more. So, you know, whether you believe it's a result of the spirit realm or just your gut feeling is irrelevant. Bottom line, it's a feeling you get that helps you make a decision that seems to come from nowhere and is based on nothing rational. I'm sure, undoubtedly, you have all had a gut feeling once, and it turned out to be correct. Well, what is that? That's like messages from the spirit realm. So, unhealthy choices, they fuck with our intuition. I'm realizing that once I've started taking care of my body, it has helped me center my mind. And remember, all three, mind, body, and spirit, are related and necessary. And balancing one helps balance the others, but if you don't focus on all three, you'll never find true balance. Here's a very major point that you should all really soak up. All aspects of our life impact the overall quality of it in ways that you would never even imagine. Think of the spirit world as the dungeon masters of our lives, and we're free to do whatever we want, but each and every decision we make affects the campaign as a whole. The spirit realm communicates to us with life circumstances. If bad things happen to us, sometimes it's because we're not getting the message. Think of Newton's law. An object at rest stays at rest unless acted on by another force. Basically, things keep doing what they're doing until something comes along and forces them to move or slow down. It starts with subtle nudges, but if you continue to ignore or miss the message, then the universe has to exert more force to get your attention. The sooner you start paying attention, the sooner you can get the message and start on the path to your fullest potential. There are no coincidences or accidents. Everything happens for a reason. Start believing that the circumstances of your life are trying to tell you something. Every single one of us is born into a storyline with the opportunity to live to our fullest potential or our greatest failure. Our lives truly are as good or bad as we let them become. So how can we start living to our full potential? Well, it's wildly complicated, and there is no one true way, but I'll do my best to break down some parts of it and what I've been experiencing to help you guys get started on your own journey of self-discovery. Remember, I don't have all the answers. I just started paying attention. Look, I know how fucking hard it is to become the best you can be. Like, I'm knee deep in the shit of it right now, and all the things I'm telling you, I also struggle to maintain. We're not perfect, and the universe embraces this fact in many different ways. You're gonna screw up. Oftentimes, once you bounce back from a screw up, you realize screwing up was exactly what you needed to truly learn. When you look at it that way, mistakes only exist if you don't learn from them. Learning from a mistake takes being uncomfortably honest with yourself. If you screw up and then you blame someone else or something else for your mistake, then you're likely to repeat it because, as I said before, the universe communicates to you via life circumstances. Once you take an honest step back, own that fuck up, and wear it proudly and say, I had the power to fuck that up, so I have the equal power to unfuck it and never make that mistake again, then you truly learn, and knowledge means growth. Failure is just a stepping stone to a new perspective. Another really important aspect to focus on is consistency. Consistency is key. For me, consistency is so fucking hard. So what helps me? Well, keeping good habits is a lot like breaking bad ones. I said Breaking Bad. That's a good show. Once you're over the hump, it becomes normal. I'll give you an example. I've kicked the cigarette habit a few times, and the last time it was for good, which was a long time ago, and now I guess I'm a poser because my name's Sig Neutron and I don't smoke anymore, so whatever. Who's the joke on? And in addition to cigarettes, I spent maybe 5 to 6 years of my life with a daily relationship with alcohol, and a very unhealthy relationship at that. And I think I'll do an entire episode on alcohol and my struggle to overcome it. That's a pretty dark chapter in my life, and I'll gladly share it with you because I think it's important to share our stories so we can help others, but that's gonna take like a whole other episode. So anyways, once I started listening to the spirit realm to get my life in order, I started dropping bad habits and picking up good ones. Now, I've tried this before, but the good habits never stuck, and I had the bad ones to fall back on to make me feel better about it. So keeping good habits is almost exactly like overcoming an addiction or a bad habit. If you've ever quit smoking or dropped any addictive behavior, you know the first week or so is pure hell. But once you get past what they call the hump, you retrain your brain and you don't even crave that bad habit anymore. And the longer you do, the more willpower you gain, and eventually your willpower is strong enough to be like, nah, we're not going back there. You know, it's like being in an airplane that just took off. And as you're traveling through the clouds, you can't see shit. But once you break the top of the clouds, it's beautiful. And you don't want to go back down because from up there, you can see your faults of your past ways. And from this higher perspective, you start to see the big picture. Once you're up there, you don't want to go back down because you can see the big picture. The same thing applies to good habits. There's a hump to getting over with good habits. Once I kept it up for a week or so, then that just became my new normal. I look back at how I used to eat and I'm almost appalled. And it's not because I have shame or I hate myself or who I used to be. No, it's because my new normal is so great that I can't even imagine how I was sustaining myself before. But why did it take me so long? And why did I fail so many times? I had friends and family supporting me, but at the end, it never seemed to be enough. It wasn't until I opened my mind and my heart and realized I have things that in the spirit realm that want me to succeed. They stepped in and they said, hey, we're here and you need to get your shit together. And I realized that I have a greater purpose and that I do matter, and I'm a part of this wonderful and infinite whole. And it wasn't until I believed in the divine that I was able to overcome. And I know that the 12-step program and stuff, they talk about believing in a higher power and stuff, but my problem with that is that they talk about how you have to admit to being powerless, and I don't agree with that. So, I mean, if AA works for you, the 12 steps work, then that's good, because the bottom line is if it works, it works. I'm not talking shit on it, but I don't believe in believing or admitting to yourself that you're powerless, because we're very powerful divine beings. So don't get it confused. I was able to overcome because they showed me how to truly believe in myself. Once I believed in them, and then they got me to believe in myself, and I knew for a fact that there was a spirit realm, and I was finally able to truly believe that there is actually a point to all of this. I realized that's what I was missing all along, my sense of purpose. So I think that's what a lot of people are missing, is their sense of purpose, because they feel like nothing matters and we're just here. Like, why are we even here? What's the point of it all? This brings our focus from the body, and before we can truly dive into healthy decisions for the body, it really helps if the captain of your ship has their head screwed on tight, right. So that brings us to balancing the mind. So to really realize the extent that we're draining ourselves and distracting ourselves from seeing clearly, let me use this example. Let's say there are bands or TV shows or literally anything in existence that you just fucking hate. It's not your thing, you don't get it, whatever, but you just hate it. Blah. And you're actually putting energy into hating it. Now you have to realize something. The fact that those bands exist or media or whatever it is, in no way hinders or affects your reality. Their existence doesn't take anything from you, but yet you still hate them. I've been cramming theology and philosophy lately, so I forget where this analogy came from. Maybe it was What the Bleep Do We Know? I'm not sure. But think of your mind as an old school operator switchboard. Remember those ones with the plugs and the ladies and we're like plugging in different plugs into them to connect to different phone lines or whatever? You younger crowd probably don't know what I'm talking about. But imagine a big wall of holes, and then you have, and then think of your mind as a whole bunch of plugs. There you go. So now look at your switchboard and you have all of these wires plugged into loving and hating things. And obviously you have a lot more wires plugged into other kinds of things, but let's just use love and hate for simplicity's sake. So now take a look at how many wires you have plugged into hating things. Do you get any sort of return from that wire? No, it's a one-directional line sending energy out from you, and you get nothing back, because hate is one-directional. You don't get anything back from hating people. You just send hate towards someone. Now, look at all the empty plugs and see where your life is lacking. Now, what happens if you pull out all those dead, hateful wires that are just shooting energy away from you? Well, you have a lot more wires to plug into things that bring you fulfillment and joy. You can plug into liking and loving things, and it brings you a return. It's a give and a take. Because when you send joy and love into something, you get it in return because it makes you happy, and the thing that you love is happy that you love it. It's a give and a take. But hate is just one way. You hate it, and it actually takes away from not only you, but the thing that you hate, because it hurts to be hated. Now, liking or hating things is a simple concept, but again, with a shift in perspective, and using that analogy, you can see the deeper truth in something so seemingly trivial and meaningless. Now you can use that knowledge and apply that simple switchboard concept to more complicated aspects of your life. And before you know it, all your wires are plugged into reciprocal channels and that feed you back enjoyment and fulfillment. And you also exude that. So what happens when that happens? Well, your very existence becomes rewarding. You don't, and I'm not saying you have to force yourself to like everything. I'm just saying put energy into what you do. Don't be upset about what ifs. Shift focus to enjoying what is. Remember, what you call an anchor might float another boat. That's from the Ode to Weirdos episode, whatever the fuck. We seem to have become a culture that convinces itself we can't. We love saying we can't. We believe we're at the whim of a world that doesn't give a shit about us. Am I right? I mean, I still feel that way sometimes, but I've come to learn that no matter how I feel sometimes, feelings can be absolute horseshit. You know all those little voices in your head? Sometimes they tell you you're shit and you can't and you're never good enough. But sometimes they tell you to go for it, and when you listen, it brings you to new accomplishments you never thought were possible. So here's the thing. Both of those voices are there for your greater good. If you want to think about how to balance your mind, then you have to develop your relationship with these voices. Most of us think that they are us and what they say are fact, because that's how they make us feel. Those things they say are attached to feelings, and feelings are very powerful and very apparent. We all believe in feelings, don't we? Because we know how they make us fucking feel. Well, what I'm coming to learn is that when we hear the voices of so many different things in our mind, on a daily basis. Our ancestors, spirit guides, both benevolent and malevolent, deities, and even other people's thoughts and feelings. So no wonder we're so fucking confused all the time. At some point, it makes you wonder, what the hell is even me? The deeper I dive into spirituality, the more that question haunts me. I still don't think I've come to an actual answer, but I'm trying to make sense of it. And again, we're all learning, but we learn faster when we're actively engaged in learning. So I'm trying to figure it out. I don't have all the answers, but I'm trying. And I hope these Irreverentism podcasts help inspire you to try as well, because you are completely capable of thinking about all these things that I'm thinking about. And I hope that my words inspire you to think about it. So what is me and what is you? Well, the closest working model I have right now is our true selves are the captains of a wonderfully diverse ship, full of friends, full of enemies, full of ancestors, and sometimes full of stowaways or psychic parasites. The true us drives the ship, but we have to deal with all the passengers and the crew on board. And if we're not thinking of ourselves that way, we become overwhelmed in thinking that we're just some super fucked up, broken garbage person. So to truly find balance of the mind, you have to start compartmentalizing. Get it? Compartmentalizing. When you make the conscious choice to view these different aspects of yourself as different parts of yourself, and then you separate your true self from them, it's much easier to diagnose and fix problems. Now, there's a hugely complicated system that I'm not even going to pretend to understand here, but this is how I'm starting to make sense of it all, so that I can learn and grow rather than feel like I'm holding myself back. First of all, that shitty voice in your head that's always telling you can't? Well, to help deal with that asshole is just a shift in perspective. Remember, I said we're beings of light and shadow. This is shadow at work. Now, instead of looking at that voice as an asshole who convinces you that you can't, start viewing that voice as a personal trainer. You know the ones. It's telling you you can't because it knows that you can, but it wants you to prove it. You know, you got that sweaty guy in your face like, you got five more. Nope, you can't. I don't believe you can do it. You can do it. It wants you to dig deeper and prove to yourself and the universe that you can. We work out with weights because that's how we grow muscle. The fear, anxiety, and doubt and our mental barbells. Our demons are the weights that we use to grow stronger. Resistance is necessary for growth. So once you shift focus and start viewing your demons as friends, you integrate your shadow. If your demon tells you you can't, rather than shrivel into a ball, no, you look that demon right in the eye and with a big grin you say, oh yeah? Well, watch this. And then you fucking rock it like Herbie Hancock. And then what did you do? You just proved that you can. Now, will that make the voices of doubt go away? Hell no. They're here for the long run because, again, we don't grow unless we have something to struggle against. Our demons are ours, they're part of us, and they only want us to fail if we deserve it. But guess who decides if we deserve it or not? That's right. You do, boo-boo. So embrace the shadow. Say fuck yes to the challenge. Your demons are what you make them. And I choose to make my demons my friends. It's all in how you look at it. An angel or a demon can be essentially be the same thing with just a shift in perspective. So these are some practical ways to balance your mind, just how you think about it. You can employ these things whether you believe the actual spiritual reasons or not. This is a big part of irreverentism. You don't have to actually believe, you just have to structure your thoughts as if you did. Either way, you start to play the great game. So we've covered the two parts that everyone believes in and knows exist, the mind and the body, and now we're moving up from mind to the spirit. Now, as we move to the spirit, here's the thing. If you aren't ready to believe that there are universal deities and a whole world outside of this one running the show, then do me a favor and just play along, okay? As I said before, the great thing about irreverentism is you don't have to believe. You just have to structure your thoughts in a way that works for you and your life. You want to live the best life you can, right? Well, if what you're doing isn't working, then it's time to try something new. Have a little fun. Be bold. Be a little ballsy. It's time for a perspective change. Whether you believe it or not, if you try out this way of thinking, I almost guarantee your life will start to change for the better. For those that are already open to the idea of the spirit realm, awesome. You'll be able to jump on this no problem. But those that are hesitant, that's absolutely fine. The spirit realm knows that we don't know, and they are understanding of that. All I'm asking you skeptical folk to do is play along for now. And maybe, who knows, maybe by playing along, you'll come to realize a greater truth. That's the goal here. But really, the goal is to help improve your life because, I say it again, together we all win. And you want to live in a magical, wonderful world where anything is possible, right? You want to have a fulfilled life, right? Where's that sense of wonder you had as a kid? Channel that. Bring that back. Because as kids, we think, oh, man, it was so great when we were a kid. Well, there's no reason why we can't have that mentality again, but just in adult form. I love using my imagination, and it's time to dust off yours. Again, this is absurdly complicated, but I'm doing my best to paint a picture of how I believe the spirit realm. Well, I believe at this moment the spirit realm operates. I'm always learning. So this is how I believe that it works so that you can apply this thinking to your life in practical ways. Remember, spirituality is practicality. So for a more in-depth discussion of how I believe the spirit realm is organized, listen to episode 21, Irreverentism, What Are We? I list in greater detail what I think is going on. And again, I don't claim to be right. I'm just trying my best to understand. So basically, back to us being the captains of our ship. We each have an individualized set of deities and spirits following us throughout our lives. It's not necessary, but if you decide to look further into it, you can start to figure out what deities you may work with by assessing your own personality. Putting a face or a name to the universal archetypes we work with makes it easier to directly interact with them. And I call this the interface of God. But whether you know their name or not, you felt their presence in your entire life. From the moments of your greatest sadness to the pinnacle of your highest achievements, they've been there. And they all resonate at different frequencies, and so do emotions. So sometimes their presence actually makes you feel a certain way when they're around. So when they're around, you feel them. And once you start to learn what the feeling is like, you get to start to categorize even more who's around and how to better structure your own way of thinking. So through mental exercises like meditation and ritual, you can actually begin to hear them more clearly and actually develop an actual relationship with them. Some people, I think the baseline is you feel them. And I think as you start to progress and work, you know, working our mind is just like working our body. It's as you progress mentally and spiritually, you can start to hear them better, as if you're tuning your radio to hear them more clearly and you're cutting out all the static. So, you know, at first, you can just start to categorize the feeling of their presence because you've already felt them. But now, if you know that's something to be categorized, well, then there you go. So how do we interact with the spirit realm, and how can we learn to harness the power of spirit? Well, do you have unexplained emotions, long stints of unexplained sadness, or bursts of happiness that come from seemingly nowhere? Well, what are those feelings? Well, they could be so many things, and I'm not a doctor, and I'm not trying to diagnose anybody, but this is what I'm starting to learn, so take it for what it is. Again, I'm no expert or doctor, but this is what I believe that I am learning. In addition to the deities helping or hindering us, we also have our ancestors. I'm not exactly sure how it works, but I think when we pass back to the spirit realm, we can actually get confused and lost in certain places. And I think this might be like being stuck in a bad dream. You know, in a dream, we're often like confused why we're there and why we make the decisions we do. I think if we pass away under unfortunate circumstances or we haven't aligned ourselves with higher vibration, I think we can get stuck. And before we can reincarnate, if we're stuck, we have to get unstuck so we can come back to this realm. But to me, I think this might be what hell is. I don't know for sure, but it seems like pretty hellish to get stuck somewhere and not know how to get out. Now, since we're all linked, we're especially linked to our ancestors, and our super way ancient ancestors, they got their shit together. They've had a long time to get centered, and they know even more than we do about who we are and why we're here. and what we actually are. However, our more recent ancestors can be stuck or lost. So this sends ripples throughout their entire family. And this concept runs through many indigenous cultures around the world. So many cultures honor and venerate their ancestors, but here in America, this practice has kind of just been abandoned. I'm coming to learn a big part of fixing ourselves is helping our ancestors. Now, I'm super new at this, and there are shamans out there that can help facilitate ancestral healing, but this is something you can do. This is something simple you can start doing. You know, if you're the only person in your bloodline helping your ancestors, you essentially become the ambassador for your family, because you're opening the door and you have the intent to actually communicate with your ancestors and help. You're finally listening. And that's what they want. The spirit realm wants us to listen to it. And this is once we start opening the door and saying, okay, I'm listening, you're going to be surprised what you hear. So whether you believe in the spirit realm or not, you believe in family that have passed on, right? And somewhere deep down, you know they're not gone. It seems that generation after generation has forgotten the knowledge of how to help those that have passed, and it's led to this super entangling and knotting up of our spiritual line, which leads to emotional problems and even bad life circumstances. When our ancestors are in a healed space, they help guide us and help us achieve our goals because, again, we're linked to them. When we succeed, they succeed. But when they're lost and confused, they work kind of against us, even if it's not intentional. And it's up to us living family members to help untangle those family lines. This is super important. And I can't believe that as a culture in America, I'm really sad that this has been left by the wayside. Because I think, again, this leads to us feeling so lost and helpless and like that this is all there is, when it is not. This is not the end. So there are many ways that we can do this to help our ancestors. And I could do a whole episode or mini series on it. But again, I'm not a shaman or anything. So I recommend you start doing your own research. I recommend a book called The Kamta Primer, K-A-M-T-A Primer, by Derek Moore. This is one of the first books the deities guided us to, and to start giving us an understanding of the spirit realm. I don't know if every single thing in there is correct, but it starts to paint a pretty good picture, and tells you how to set up an altar and all kinds of really cool stuff. The Kemetic religion is like an ancient Egyptian religion, and I don't know about you guys, but if there were ever a time or a culture that seemed to like understand the afterlife, I'm gonna have to say the ancient Egyptians. They knew what was up. So in addition to doing your own research, a good way to at least start helping your ancestors is to set up a little altar for them. Just make a, you know, on the top of a shelf or on top of a table, somewhere that doesn't get disturbed, but, you know, and just make it a nice little place for them. And you can put photos of the recently deceased or anything that they used to like when they were alive. Now, keep in mind, this altar is for all of your ancestors dating like way the fuck back to like forever ago. And then whenever you feel like it, burn a candle for them. I don't know how it works, but somehow the light of a flame is somehow turned into energy in the spirit realm. And it's the same concept as why the Chinese burn hell money. So if you're burning that candle with the intent of offering it to your ancestors, then somehow they receive that energy and it helps them out. I have no idea how, but, you know, and it's essentially, that's why the ancient Egyptians buried pharaohs and people with possessions, because those were offerings. You're taking something and you're making it special and with the intent, and somehow that energy carries over into the other world. Don't know how, but hey, it works. So you're using your intent to send something to your ancestors because you're claiming it for them. And there are many more in-depth ways to help your ancestors, but again, no shaman, and I'm still learning myself. The main point I want to get across here is that we need to start realizing that we need to pay attention to our ancestors. We help them, and in return, they help us. It's a symbiotic relationship. Once again, it leads us back to that concept: together, we all win. So to sum all this up, I was able to change my life not because I was powerless, but because the spirit realm showed me how powerful I am. We're all divine beings. We're here to create and shape our reality, and we are much better creators when we are balanced humans. So here's a fun little thing that I'd like you to try. Come on, play along with me. Let's have some fun. And let's call it the, I don't know, the irreverentism challenge or some dumb shit like that. Who knows? But here we go. So for 1 week, depending on what degree you believe in the spirit realm or not, use your imagination. And just for 1 week, structure your life around the following things. So really give this a good effort, okay? And look, I know some of these things are going to feel kind of silly, but just abandon feeling silly. And remember how much fun you had as a kid playing make-believe? Well, it's kind of like that, except this make-believe helps you become a fully functional adult and well-adjusted human. It's a win-win, okay? So just for a week, really believe these simple things and let's see how your life changes. Here we go. So number one, we're going to kind of recap everything that was in this episode. Number one. Believe that there is a spirit realm full of deities who want to help and hinder you for your personal growth. If you feel like you need guidance or help, just ask. The divine is ready and so excited for you to finally open up that channel of communication. If you don't know who to ask, just ask the universe as a whole. Your thoughts are heard, and there's no wrong way to communicate with the divine. Just think of them as wise, ancient, badass teachers who are waiting and willing to help you. Also, your ancestors, too. If you want to think, just think to your ancestors or ask them for help, you can also do the same thing. I find that starting off, the universe as a whole kind of sort of just helps in a sense because you're covering everything. But whatever feels right to you, whatever you feel guided to, again, there's no wrong way to do this. And that's the great and fun part about spirituality that people don't realize it is there, is that you make your own rules and you do what feels right for you. So I don't want to scare you with the term prayer, but you know, spend some time each day thinking to the universe as if it's a sentient being, and you can ask it questions, you can ask for help, you can tell it your problems, and you know, you may not get an immediate answer or even answers how you expect to get them, but this brings us to number two. Believe that everything that happens to you during this week has a meaning. So for this week, believe that there are no random occurrences. Even if a bug lands next to you, take that as a sign. Google spiritual meaning of blank whatever bug or animal you saw and see if that spiritual meaning of that animal relates to your life at all. You'd be so oftenly surprised that because I've done this and almost every time I'm getting like a direct message of something that is involved into my life. And just for seeing a fucking bee or something or an ant crawled on me or something, it's nuts. I'm telling you, we're in the divine matrix, dude, and everything can be a sign. You don't have to go down rabbit holes or anything, but if it feels right, follow your intuition and follow your gut. Because like I said, there are things trying to hinder you, but that's where your intuition comes into play. And if you feel good about doing something, then there you go. The spirit's looking out for you. We'll never try to get you to do something that doesn't feel right. So keep that in mind. Yeah, the divine, it speaks to us in a language of context. And I can't tell you exactly what to pay attention to because your personal context is very different than mine. What should you really pay attention to? That gut feeling. You get a feeling when a song comes on or you look at a specific time on the clock, or what were you just thinking of when you saw a specific time on the clock? And maybe that's an answer to your problem. So follow your gut and start thinking that there are hidden meanings in your life circumstances. So number three, if any hurdles are thrown at you during this week, remember to make friends with your demons and think of them as your personal trainers. They say you can't, and you say, fucking watch me. Get excited about the challenge. Strive to overcome and grow. Challenges are necessary and fundamental. So rather than letting your shadow convince you that you're not good enough, be excited to prove that you're all that and more. And a bag of potato chips. Bringing back the 90s reference. Seriously, though, get excited about the challenge of life. Number four. Now, I'm not asking you to completely change your diet. All I'm asking is that you start making small, healthy decisions. Maybe for lunch, have a salad instead, and maybe you don't need that third or fourth cup of coffee, or maybe you shouldn't eat that entire bag of chips. Like, you know, whatever it is, the idea here is that, and you know those naughty things that you do. I don't need to tell you. So anytime you're like having that angel devil moment on the shoulder, be like, okay, yeah, all right, maybe I'll just cut back a little bit. I guess I don't need to eat that much, or, you know, Just make healthier decisions. The idea here is that you make slow change over time so that you can redefine what your normal is. Quitting everything cold turkey can really fuck with your mental state and lead you to give up. Because also, in addition to just such a stark change in your life, some of us are also chemically dependent, and slowly weaning ourselves away is the way to go. And if you have like a problem with alcohol, please know that quitting cold turkey can actually kill you. So please inform yourself and seek help if you need, depending on the severity of your problem with alcohol. It's very dangerous. So please be aware of that. And again, this is not medical advice. I'm just saying be informed, because alcohol is a nasty, nasty thing to give up. So also other drugs too, but you know. Number 5. Before every meal, do just a short little meditation. And you could, again, don't want to scare you with a prayer, but you could call it a prayer if you want, but you don't have to, because some people don't like that term. But just close your eyes and focus on the feeling of gratitude. Really channel that feeling. You don't have to think, just focus on the feeling of gratitude, and you can think of this as expressing to the universe that you're thankful for what you have. And channeling this feeling of gratitude is really important, and it's going to help when we start diving into meditation and my techniques on how to do that. There's something about the frequency of the feeling of gratitude that puts you into a very interactive state of mind or vibration that you can interact with the spirit world. But it's important that we never take for granted what we have. And if you express gratitude to the universe, then good things, like true, genuine gratitude, then good things will come to you. And also, if you do that before every meal, you're not only saying thanks for it, you're also helping train your brain to get into that vibration of gratitude, which is, like I said, it's going to be important for meditation. So, number 6, think about your ancestors and make a little altar for them. Light a candle for them once a day for a week with the intent of sending them energy of light wherever they may be, and see if this starts to help improve either your mood or your life circumstances. Like, our ancestors, in addition to the deities, they're very active and important in our lives. And open up a dialogue with them. Talk to them. You know, not only talk to the universe, but talk to your ancestors. You don't have to think of a specific ancestor in mind. Like, our ancestors know that our families have gotten fucked up, and they understand that, and they want to do everything they can to help fix it, because again, you are them and they are you, and together we all win. So know that there's a whole spiritual realm out there that is very receptive and just waiting for you to pay attention to it, so that you can start fixing yourself and in turn fixing your whole life. Once you start doing ancestry work, it ripples throughout your entire family. And I don't want to go into details, but after I started doing ancestry work, almost immediately the day after, members of my family that were estranged, I called and they were talking to each other again. And It's crazy. It was like right when I started doing the ancestry work, then subconsciously my family just kind of started fixing itself. So give it a try, man, and really think about it. So I think we were on number 6. Okay, so number 7. For just 20 minutes a day, meditate. And you can research meditation or whatever. But the next episode, I'm going to explain my meditation practices, because I feel like a lot of people get overwhelmed about meditation and they get discouraged. But remember, it's just like working our physical bodies out. It takes practice and it takes some time, but every time you do it, you grow stronger. And it's almost like, it's like working your body, but you almost see immediate results. So I'm no yogi or any kind of shaman or anything. So I'm going to explain meditation in a way that makes sense to me. And hopefully it'll make sense to you, because I really got into it after I heard David Lynch talk about it, and it's very, very key to our health and well-being. So meditation is very important, and listen to the next episode for further take on that. All right. So after you do this for a week, now take an inventory of your life. Has it improved? And it may not be a miraculous change, or maybe it will be. It's very possible. But the point is, did changing up your ways of thinking improve your life? Because at the end of the day, if something works, it fucking works. So I want to hear your stories and how it's improved your life, and I'd love to share them with our listeners too. So after trying this out, please, and there's a positive spin on your life, like big or long story, you know, short or long story, let me know. Send me an email at signeutron@gmail.com and tell me how it went. If you want to remain anonymous, just give me a fake name. You know, my dream is that I have enough of you sharing stories that I can make a segment, I can make a new segment of it on episodes of Sputron. So a little inspirational section that how irreverentism thinking is helping people in their lives. Because, you know, the idea here is that we keep inspiring each other to become better people, and in turn, we slowly begin to change what it means to be human. And if your one Irreverentism Week helped you out, then why not try another? And if that one helped, why not try another and another and another? The great thing about this way of thinking is that it builds on itself, and the longer you do it, the more impact that it has on your life and our entire collective reality. And then each week, you just tailor your thoughts to whatever works for you and your life. If you tried out some of these techniques that I told you and they don't seem to be working for you, there's no reason to keep doing it. Do what works for you. But also know that sometimes you have to give things a good concerted effort because they don't immediately work for you. And that's the problem that people run into when they think meditation. You try it one time and you're like, okay, I didn't. What was I supposed to get from it? Well, It's a system. You gotta give it a chance. First time I played basketball, I sucked at it. You know, first I can't pick up a guitar and play fucking Led Zeppelin or Freebird. You know, so the mind works very similarly. So I know I threw a lot of information at you. So maybe listen to this episode a couple of times or whenever you need a boost in life. And if these things have helped you, then please, please, please share it with others who you think are open to hearing this message. Because the more people we can help, the better. This is my goal here. I have no other nefarious ends other than I want to help people and I want to encourage the world to become a better place. Because when we change ourselves, then we truly do change the whole. And if this kind of thinking catches on, it doesn't have to be this exact way of thinking, but if we focus on improving ourselves to improve the greater whole, it doesn't matter how we do it. What matters is that we've done it. And if you're listening to this episode right now, I'm excited for you because I don't believe in coincidences or accidents. I know that you're listening right now because you were guided to. And if you were guided to listen to this, then that means there's something in what I said that can truly help you. So really think about that. And I look forward to hearing what it was. So send me those emails. Try this week out. Really give it a good effort and see if your perspectives and your life doesn't change. Because I guarantee you, you're going to take away something from it. So check out episode 25, the next episode, to hear how I meditate and how it can help you during your Irreverentism Week. So if you want to catch me on other platforms, I do live streaming on Twitch, twitch.tv/signeutron. I also have a YouTube, youtube.com/bizarroagogo, where I make silly, funny songs into music videos like the ones in other more fun episodes. Well, I'm not going to say more fun episodes because I think these are pretty fun too. A little bit more serious, but hey, you know, in the comedy episodes, whatever. You get it. You should follow me on the YouTubes. And also on social media is @SigNeutron, Twitter and Instagram. It's just @SigNeutron. And please, whatever platform you listen to this to, please rate, review it, spread the word, because the rate and the reviews and the likes and the subs and the follows on whatever platform you do helps it get seen by other people who may need to hear it. So, yeah, and I definitely appreciate spreading the word and stuff. And let me know what you think. I want to hear from you guys. I get a lot of listens, but I don't hear very much from the listeners. So tweet at me. Hit me up on Twitter, @SigNeutron. Tell me what you think about the show. Tell me what you love. Tell me what you hate. I don't care. As long as you're telling me something, that makes me happy. So, all right, everybody. Until next time, stay weird, stay open-minded, and remember, if you're not looking, then you're not going to find anything.